Here, I'm just going to switch to this right away.
Bibles to Psalm 31, please. Psalm 31. Thank you, Brother Cordy, for letting me preach. It terrifies me and being in front of all your people, so it's awesome. But no, I'm glad I'm up here. I endeavored to myself a long time ago to be in God's will, no matter what it is, what it caused, the nerves or whatever it is. And you know, this is where I think my path God has given me is where I'm at. Although sometimes it makes you get out of your comfort zone a little bit more than what you want to do. But I'm glad for the opportunity to be here. I'm glad that Brother Cordy allows me to be in this pulpit in this time. And I hope that what I have for you guys today can help you. I know it's helped me tremendously, especially through this time. Brother Cordy's been preaching about prayer a lot, and he's been teaching us about your prayer life and the work that comes with that. And I've gotten a lot from that, and been able to build a pretty good relationship with the Lord right now. I'll talk a little bit more further. So Psalms, and we're going to go to the chapter Psalms 31, and we're going to read chapter 22. And the Bible says, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thy eyes. Nevertheless, you heareth the voice of my supplications with when I cry unto thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for this place, this church, Lord. Thank you for the people you have given us here, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want you to ask you to be with me today, Lord, as I try to help your people, Lord. I know that the words that you have given me, Lord, I think it's what we need. I think it's what a lot of people in their hearts need, Lord. Just allow me to be able to give it to your people, Lord, and get myself out the way, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, please be with the ladies as they go out, Lord, my wife. As precious she is, and say the ladies, but really mean my wife. I pray that you're with them and you guide them and keep them protected as she's gone. Lord knows I can't be a father for kids by myself, so please bring her back to me, Heavenly Father. We love you. Amen. You may be seated. So, as you guys know, most of you guys know, when it comes to missions, I've been, ever since God has kind of put me on this path when it comes to missions and trying to reach the world, Brother Cordy says all the time, keep an eye on God's big world and he'll keep an eye on your little world. And in missions, I've heard of, you kind of try to learn, and try to find people that kind of paved the path of missions in the future, just trying to learn, see what they did right, what they did wrong, how God used them, how God, was able to teach lessons through your lives and missions and things that not only in missions that helps you, but it also helps you in the life of a Christian life. I was thankful that, I read a quote from, it says, "I'm prepared to go anywhere provided it is for." And that's a pretty famous quote from David Livingstone, which is a missionary to Africa a long time ago. This is back when mission work was really hard because, every time you left off to go on a mission work or do something, it was 95% of the time it was a death sentence. Either, you died on boat trying to get there, you died, running into all the things that you could run into in a mission field. David Livingstone, he was a missionary to Africa. We're talking millenniums ago. With everything that's going on in Africa, you have that you ran into tribes, you ran into, different things, illnesses, run into something David Livingstone ran into. I think there was a point in time that he was attacked by a lion. Something that, in my mind, just like, attacked by a lion. You're still out there in the mission field. But it's amazing how, you as a Christian could devote yourself and do things, and God allows you to go through all these trials, go through all these things in your life. Although most of the times you don't really know what the other side is. I had something that David Livingston, he wrote in his journal. And just hear this. So it says, he says, I am immortal until the work of God has called me to do is finished. Listen to those words. From a Christian, I mean, you're talking about a missionary says, hey, you know, God's told me to go, you know, to the heart of Africa. And he went and he did it. You know, that's why we know, we hear his stories, we hear about him, we know about David Livingstone, is because he's done it. And the philosophy, or not even the philosophy, but just in his words, if you understand it, you know, he believed as long as God still has him, that nothing could hurt him, right? Yeah. I am immortal, right? And it's the mindset of, you know, Christians of that day or missionaries of that day, that I feel like we as Christians, I'm talking more of myself included in that, is we forget, right? Yeah. That if we're in the path of God and what God has for us, yeah, we should think of ourselves as immortal, right? Yeah. Because the moment that we are thinking that we can't accomplish something, guess what is the cause? It's because we forget that God is the one that's in control and he's the one that's guiding us. Yeah. What we forget is that we are technically very mortal, but with God, he allows us to be immortal. He allows us to push through these times of struggles. And the same thing, you know, same thing that kind of David Livingston's story and everything like that, you know, you have David, you know, David, King David, went through a lot. You know, he went from, you know, being chased and persecuted, you know, he went from falling deep into sin, he went to, you know, almost borderline depression and all the things that he's gone in his life. But David was still somebody that was categorized as a guy after God's own heart, which is an amazing story. And, you know, and you want to, especially in times where you're hurting and times where things just do not make sense for you in your life, you want to look back. What does the Bible say about people? What can I learn from a person like King David? You know, going through everything that he's gone through in his life. How was he able not only to do that, but still have the same confidence in God like a David Livingstone, and have that confidence that knowing no matter what I could be going through in my life, I am immortal because God is with me. So in Psalms, in Psalms 31, I'm not going to read the whole thing just because I'm not. But I'll let you guys read it. But in Psalms 31, you know, it's amazing, and you kind of see the ups and downs when it comes to King David in that chapter when you're reading in his mental status. But, you know, kind of like starting like in verse 1, you know, David began to plead God for his protection and for him to be delivered from these evils, right? He's pleading with God at the time, or, you know, David was going through at that time, pleading with God to help him and deliver him from evil. Deliver him from the evil of his enemies, right? And one thing when you read consistently within that chapter is that no matter what David realized that his foundation and his where he could find fortitude is in God, right? In God that he knows that God is going to deliver him of that. A little bit further down, you know, it got to the point, and you read it chapter 9, I think it's like 13, it gets to the point that he starts getting really, really desperate, right? Yeah. He starts to really feel what's going on at that time. And, you know, he's overwhelmed with the troubles, he's, you know, both physically and emotionally. But he never forgets that with God, although he's going through all the troubles that he's going through, that with God, God's going to help him out of it. Although he still feels everything, he's still feeling everything that he's going on. It's not that it's not happening, but he knows that God is going to allow him and is going to deliver it through them. So So reading that, and I'm kind of going to read through chapter or verses 19 through 24. I'm kind of going to break it down a little bit into kind of what I've gathered from, you know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, David, a man after God's own heart, how did he accomplish that? How did he do that? How can he, no matter everything that David went through, he could still have that testimony, right? He could still have that confidence in what God has for him. And I think that in these verses, he kind of highlights it. So it says in verse 19, so in the first part of verse 19, where it says, "Oh God, great, oh how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee," right? Word laid up. What's the word? The word laid up means it's already been put away. So God has goodness. God has blessings for us. It's already put away for us and ready for us to take. Yeah. It's something that it's already there. It's already available for us. He laid up there for us, right? Because he laid up, I mean, he put aside for there. But it's abundant blessings that God has for us that we may not see at the time. We may think that everything is going disarray. There's just no way that I could see my way out of that. But God says, no, I have these blessings for you. It's time, right? It's coming. It's laid up. It's saved. It's in the safe place for you. I have it for you. It's just at its time. And David understood that God's goodness is available to all of us. Even when we're in the darkest place, and you know, I love teaching on the Holy Spirit on Sunday, although, you know, I hate teaching. I love teaching on the Holy Spirit on Sunday. But I was able to one thing that I said when we were teaching, which is kind of what I learned, is, you know, we have such an untapped power when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And it's always seems like it's the Trinity, we have the Godhead, but we always seem to forget that the Holy Spirit is with us, right? We always seem to forget that part of it. And I understand the negative connotation of all the stuff that the world has talked about and has put into people's mind of what the Holy Spirit actually is. But if you realize and you learn what the actual Holy Spirit is for you, it's probably the best ally you could possibly have in your life. Yeah. You know, I made the comment on Sunday when we were in Sunday school, and it was like, you know, a lot of times we think that as Christians, we have no outlet. You know, people out in the world, if they're having hard times, they could go to alcohol. Or if they're having hard times, they could go to drugs, go party, and do all this stuff. But as Christians, we think that we have no outlet. But if you really think about it, we probably have the best outlet there possibly is in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We have that confidant, that person that counsels us, that person that's there with us. You know, God said that, you know, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave you my comforter. I mean, he said it in a way, it's like, it's a perfect replacement because that's what he is. And you being able to have the Holy Spirit and use him to our benefit, it's an amazing thing. And that's what he's there for. You know, a lot of times we do the opposite is that, you know, we think we're all alone, we're doing this, and then we continue to do wrong things, but then what that's doing is pushing and pushing and pushing them deeper and deeper and deeper inside of us. You know, like Brother Cordier preached about, we're just locking doors constantly, all the time, because we think that that God, through the Holy Spirit, cannot help us with these things, so we put it off to the side, we close the doors, and we shut those doors and say, hey, you can't help me with that, I need to figure it out on my own. But the only person that could actually help you out with that is the Holy Spirit. Because God said, you know, once you're saved, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Something that's already, it's a free gift. I gave you a gift. It's for you to use at your leisure. Yeah. But it's important for us to remember that we have the Holy Spirit. We have that confidant that we could have. You know, he said he gave us a comforter, somebody that in these times we could, you know, talk. Again, best characterization, he's our, you know, it talks about him being our mediator from, you know, between us and the Lord. And it's crazy sometimes, and you guys understand, but sometimes when you go through hard times to the point that you can't even speak, let alone stand, let alone move, You know, sometimes we think that hiding in a hole, hiding in a dark room, hiding in these places and just, being on our own is what the best thing for us is. But God says, hey, no, this is a time that you need to come to me. This is the kind of time. But I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, the Holy Spirit's there for you in those times. He knows you better than you know you. You know, my wife helps me out with this a lot of times because sometimes I say I need something and I don't really know what I need. So we're doing at work, we're doing something like a Secret Santa type thing. It's this thing to do at work for like gift giving. So they gave us a list of things that we need to fill out about us, right? And in my mind, I'm just like, I didn't think I was going to come to work and have such a hard test, man, because this is tough. I cannot think of this. So what did I do? I took a picture and sent it to my wife. I'm like, hey, honey, can you help me out with this? And what's funny is I'm reading through the list and I'm just like, wow, that's perfect. That's exactly what I needed on this list. But it just comes to show, you know, sometimes your needs and your wants, it's you know, God knows those. I mean, if my wife could know everything in my vicinity of what I like, what I want, what I do. I mean, there was even a question where it says, what do you hate? I'm just like, I don't even know how to answer these questions. Like, this is tough. And she's like, you hate fruity smells. Oh yeah, that makes sense. I don't like that stuff. I don't like those sweet smell when it comes to candles. It's just I don't. But it's crazy how she knew that about me. She helped me fill that out. But it just comes to show, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have that person in our lives that can help us through these times, especially these times. Because he's there to help us, not only help us feel what we are going through, but also help us get through what we're going through and understand what we're going through, and then also be that comfort that we're going through. Yeah. The peace that passes all understanding. It's amazing once you feel what that is. It's an amazing thing that you don't understand. But once you truly feel what that is, it's odd because you can't describe it. You know, I mean, you don't understand it. It's just weird. It's very, very odd. But God's goodness is laid up in heaven for us, waiting for us. He's left. It's gifts that are already made. You know, never mind. But gifts that are already made, hidden in the closet, waiting for that day for them to come out, although they've seen it 3,000 times going into closets. But it's those types of gifts, right? Yeah. They're there for us. We just need to wait for them. But if we go in verse 24, it says, that shall hide them in, wait, did I skip a verse? Nope. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy pleasure for the pride of man. David here is speaking about just the divine protection. So he's talking about, he's referring to hiding the gifts or hiding the blessings that he has for us, you know, in that place, in that secret place, right? You know, we talk about Brother Cordry when he talks about prayer. Is sometimes the reason we don't get what we need is because we're not meeting with God where we need to. Sometimes we don't get the blessings that we need. It's because we forget who to ask for those blessings. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and, you know, I was telling him how salvation works and love Christ and, you know, what God does for us. And I was telling him, you know, God is able to help anybody. He's able to hear anybody. But he's only obligated to hear his children. That's what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about, just like, you know, me being a father, if I see a kid in need, yeah, I would help the kid. Although he's not my kid. But there's a difference between me helping the kid because not my kid. I'm not obligated to help him. I cannot help him. But once it's my kid, then I have to help my kid. It's the same concept with us. This is the importance about salvation. again, if the foundation is not done correctly, everything else is just going to go into pure chaos. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have, it scared me. I thought somebody was walking up on that side. saw a shadow in the corner of my eye. But I thought it was my kid. I was about to yell at him, but no. We don't have that protection. We don't have that thing to keep us from all the junk that's done. It's some pretty crazy battles that are out there. You know, although we choose to ignore them, but there's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Yeah. A lot of just, you know, Satan knows what he's doing. Yep. He, you know, he does it to us all the time. And we a lot of times just allow it. Although you have your foundation, you have the Holy Spirit, you have Lord on your side. I mean, like I said, it's pure immortality that we have. That's a mindset that we should have. I'm not saying that we're not going to die, but you know, the Bible also said you're going to die, but it's just a mindset of you could do anything when you have the Lord on your side. Amen. But in verse 7, so it says, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in the strong city, right? Our Lord is so good, he's so awesome, that even when we ignore him, even when we doubt him, even when we choose not to meet with him, he's still able to show his goodness, show his kindness, show us love from the weirdest places, from the weirdest people. But God's able to reach us. He's able to touch us in those times. The Lord, it's amazing the way the Lord works sometimes, you know, even in the weirdest kind of scenarios. But it's amazing once you have that communication, you have that prayer life, you know, like you talk about, you know, this whole Paul committed thing. But it's really allowed me to strengthen my prayer life with the Lord, strengthen my relationship with the Lord, with all my knowledge that I've learned about prayer. But it's pretty amazing what you can do. You know, what's funny is sometimes the places you find the Lord and you could just feel it. You know, we went to Cincinnati last weekend. Me and my wife got to actually be in the car without kids, which was pretty amazing. But we went on kind of like a small road trip down to Cincinnati. And it was just amazing the deep, godly conversations that I had. It kind of set the tone for my whole weekend this past weekend. But just pure love in a conversation. And it's not only like, you know, I felt the love of my wife at the time but also felt the love of the Lord and, yeah, you know, what he's doing for us and love in our lives. And it's amazing that, you know, even the trials that we may be going through, how the love, you could have that abundant love and that peace in your heart. Yeah. And you know, caveats to you know, Sunday. Man, Sunday was just a different Sunday for me. I do not know how to explain it. I do not understand it. But even clear up to, you know, teaching the Sunday school class, you don't know how nervous I was to do that, but it was fun. And then, so we get to Sunday school class, and then the guest preacher is in my class. Yay! So, and then you have all the Chris kids decide to show up the same day, too. So, you know, it was a full class, and I'm just like, no, great. But it kind of, you know, it helps set the tone for I believe my Sunday, and you know, in having that touch, that honestly, I don't even know how to. I could describe it as just the embrace, right? The embrace that the Lord is holding me and letting me know, hey, everything's gonna be okay. Although things may be chaos, everything's gonna be okay. I have you, I have this, whatever this is, I have. And it's amazing the Lord, how the Lord could do that for us. But it says, you know, our love for the Lord should be, and then it says in verse 24, so it says, be good, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. A lot of times, sometimes kind of oxymoron, but a lot of times, The reason we are in so much shambles, the reason we are in so much pain, the reason that we feel like the world is coming to an end is because we have the hope in the wrong place. Because if you notice what the Lord does and how the Lord does it, if you notice his work in your life, if you continue to notice the things that he's put together, sometimes we start forgetting what the Lord is doing for us and we start thinking about everything else going around in our lives. And that's the moment that things start to go a little bit chaotic in our heads. That's the moment where pain is really starting to fill in. That's the moment that desperation really starts to kick in. It's because we stop relying on ourselves, but we start relying on ourselves and we stop relying on the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that strengthens our heart. Amen. He's the one that's going to make us stronger on the other side of whatever this is. He's the one, only without him, with him, is the only way that we will make it to the other side stronger. Because some of us can make it to the other side. But how strong are you from whatever you went to be able to endure it again?
Right.
Or, call me crazy, how strong are you to be able to help another person that's going through the same thing that you're going through to the other side? Because a lot of times we continue to think that what we're going through in our present life is for us. It's not. We need to start looking at the world a little bit bigger than just us. Some of the trials, some of the things that we maybe go through in our lives, it's not because of us. Our Lord has been abundantly good to us on a daily basis. I bet, hey, Brother Jordan, can you do me a favor? Can you tell me something good that the Lord's done for you?
Yes. He gave me a great family. This church, I've been here for all my life, so I can say 32 years. And how good he has been to all of us. And you talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, he is the ultimate comforter. And how what we're going through as a church, what we're going through as personal, is that he will always comfort us. We have to run to God.
Yeah.
Every day. No matter what we're going through, Brother Silly says, our hope, it needs to be the Lord. And so I thank the Lord for his grace, for his goodness, for all of us, and for family and friends and the church that we still have here.
Yeah.
The great staff that we still have. And I just thank the Lord, Brother Silly, for all that God's doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brother Archer, you think you could tell me something the Lord's done good for you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
2 years ago, they told me to get the house in order. You're not going to live there much longer. And I said, well, Lord, if you're ready to take me home, I'm ready. But I want to live as long as you'll use me.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen. Yeah.
I want people to look and say, that guy can make it. I can make it.
Yeah. Amen.
So far, so good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I'm ready with you.
Amen.
As you guys could see, although we're going through whatever this is,
amen.
You have to look at the good that God has gotten for us.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We need to forget about the trials that we're going through, but the good that God's done to us.
Amen.
There's good. You're just not seeing it. It's there. You breathing. It's good. You waking up in the morning. It's good. You getting to eat. It's really good. No, I'm joking. But The point of the matter is that the Lord is abundantly good.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Every single day, the Lord is good.
Amen.
The Lord is with us, and he has so much for us. And we just need to remember the good things that the Lord. So my sermon in a nutshell, and some points for you guys really quick. First one, always remember the good things. Without remembering the good things, in that time of trouble, it's going to be hard to get to the other side. Number two, trial. And what Brother Cord has been preaching about every single Sunday, you need to build that relationship with the Lord. You need to have that one-on-one time. It's not something that could be optional. It's not something that you could do intermittently. You have to build that relationship with the Lord. Because, again, on your own, you're not going to make it. You don't start reaching that immortality per se. And again, I I know that we're not immortal. But you don't start reading that stage of your life until you build that relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord is the only one that's going to give you that. The confidence and trust of the Lord is the only one that's going to get you through those trials. Again, I'm not discounting nothing that anybody may go through. There's a lot of people, a lot of situations in this world. There's a lot of people in this room that are going through tremendous things in their life. But we cannot forget the good things. But two, we have to spend that time with the Lord. We have to build that relationship with our Lord. It's like Brother Cordier said, it's a necessity. It is a foundation. It's like air, just like water. You need it to live, especially as a Christian. You need the Lord. You need that relationship with the Lord in order to be able to move on and live through anything. And the last thing, it comes from the first thing, is you need to be Spirit-filled. That relationship with the Lord, that relationship with that book, allows you to be Spirit-filled. We have the best resources in our life right now to keep us and put us through whatever may come in this world. We have it. It's disposed. We were indwelled with it once we were saved. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. He's a him. He's a him. He's a person. He's there for us. He's our comfort. And without him, without being Holy filled with the Spirit, things are going to get hard. Again, the opposite of being filled with the Spirit is being drunk. The Bible equates it to as drunkenness, which is completely out of control of your own senses. Ultimately, that's what drunkenness is. You have no control of what you do, say, or feel, because you're completely numb to what the world actually is. And it's crazy how God equates that to the opposite of that. In the Holy, being full of the Holy Spirit, and how grounded you could be with being full of the Holy Spirit. But that's not going to come from not reading your Bible. That's not going to come from not praying.
Right.
You need those things in your life. Excuse me, in order to build that spirit and start filling up that cup. It's not something you're going to do overnight. It's not something that's just going to happen magically. But you have to force yourself to continue to fill that cup. Fill that, get Spirit-filled. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life in order to help you through these times. Again, the reason we're in full desperation is because we forgot who we're with. And he's with us every single day.
Amen.
Again, and two more minutes, and then I met my quota. You know, I was going for personal best. And I'm almost there. So two more minutes. No, but all that being said, I want to encourage you guys in something. I got a question for you guys. I wrote it down so I don't forget what the question is. But it's about time for us to stop living alone and start truly living with what the Lord has for us. And my question to you is, I want you guys to think about this, which is important. What are you trying to get through by yourself?
Yeah.
What problems, what things are you trying to do in your own power? Because again, in your own power, we're not going to make it. And we still have a long road ahead. We need to stop living in our own power, and we need to stop giving stuff, start giving stuff up to the Lord. Allow the Lord to be our strength. And I want to give you guys the opportunity today, again, I made my time, but it's seriously, whatever is going through in your life, whatever it is, again, I don't know it, I don't care. It's not that I don't care. It's none of my business is what I'm at. But whatever you're going through in your life, give it up to the Lord. He does care. He does care. He's just waiting for you to come to him. He's just waiting for you to just let go of whatever that is. Stop trying to do it on your own. The Lord is there for you. And again, those blessings are waiting for you. It's just time for us to give it up and surrender and realize that we're not going to make it on our own.
Yeah.
We're not immortal until the Lord is with us. Let's pray.